All right, here we go. Happy Monday at WGCL, January 23. 43 degrees. That's a pretty good start for January, huh? My final full week. And if it's Monday morning, we get caught up with Joe Smith. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Class, good morning. A new week, Margaret.
Good morning.
Last time I ran into you, big smiles on the faces after the Hoosiers beat Michigan State Saturday afternoon at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Yeah. We'll talk more about their win that moves them into what, Joe, tie for fifth now?
They're tie for fifth.
Moving on up like the Jeffersons in league play, which is good. And we'll get to that heavy lifting. Plus, the women have a game tonight, but we always kick off Monday mornings with the winter sports report and the wrestlers out at Edgewood. Western Indiana Conference champions for the fourth consecutive season. They highlight a busy sports weekend, and we'll have more Edgewood talk as the week moves on this week, so it's a busy one. Let's hear all about it.
Well, kings of the WIC match for a fourth straight year, Greg Ratliff's Edgewood Mustangs, a record-setting 80-point victory when it was all said and done. Out at the Mustang Corral over the weekend, senior Denver Alott led the way. The 152-pounder is now a three-time conference champion. He's out to 25-3 on the year. Also crowned champs, Noah Gardner at 106. He's won 26 matches this year. Freshman Jay Orman won at 113, and Carson Deckard at 132. Carson won last year at 126, so congrats to Carson. Congrats to the Mustangs, who bounced back after losing to Bloomington South earlier in the week on the Panthers senior night. The Southsiders won 5 of the last 7 matches. Wade Presson's decision at 152 turned it South's way. Marty Hussle's North Wrestlers lost its seniors night match last week. On the McKinney court, his 19th-ranked Columbus East won 8 matches and won with 52 points. Tyler Miklich at 113, Wyatt Dalton at 152, and Norhetti Shirani at 170, all won for the Cougars with pins. You know, we've talked about it all season long, the South defense, but yielding just 62 total points in 2 weekend wins over Martinsville and Franklin Central, short of being just off the charts. Outstanding. South and Terre Haute South, both 4-0 atop Conference Indiana. After the Panthers drilled Franklin Central 70-34 in our broadcast game that John and Terry did on Saturday night behind freshman Anthony Leal's career-best 16, Phil King had 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. The Panthers now have won 6 in a row and play at Terre Haute South Friday for undisputed first place in Conference Indiana. Terre Haute South beat the Cougs of Andy Hodson to stay unbeaten in the conference 65-61 on Saturday night, despite Musa Jallo's 32 points. Musa had 24 in the blowout win over Evansville Central on Friday night. The Cougars start the week 6-6. Well, here's Edgewood and Northview again. Edgewood trying to make it back-to-back WIC titles Friday night as they clash with the Knights in a WIC 2017 version of the championship game. 7:30 out at the Corral, J.B. Neal's Red and Black, 11-6 after a 2-0 week with wins over Owen Valley and B&L. Chayton Howard came alive with 40 points in the wins, including that outstanding 25-point career best that he had, along with 11 rebounds against OV. FYI, J.B. and seniors Cooper Bybee and Jason Brown, who were due in Yogi's back in December, but we had to postpone it because of bad weather. They join us tomorrow night for our first show of 2017 on Sports Talk, along with Behind the Scenes with Fred Glass. Looking forward to that. Girls hoops over the weekend. Larry Winter's South Panthers welcomed sophomore Addie Blackwell back to the lineup, out since before Christmas with an injury. She knocked down a couple of free throws with 4 seconds left as the Panthers beat Indianapolis Homeschool 50-48. Addie finished with 13 on South Seniors Day. They're back even at 10-10 on the year. Lighthouse Christian senior Grace Holdeman had a 69-point weekend as the Lions split 2, losing Saturday to Duggar 62-45. Grace had 36 in that one. Earlier in the week, she scored her 1,000th career point with a 30-point, 9-rebound, 6-assist, and a 3-steal game against Southside Christian, just having a fantastic year. LCA's 9-5. They're hosting Lagodi, by the way, later tonight. North begins week 11, 5 and 15. Edgewood copped seventh place in the WIC crossover game as they beat South Putnam 51-43. Gary Sims' crew now 14-9. Malia Shockney had 18 in the win. In gymnastics, Lisa Jones' crew beat Noblesville last week. The South girls put up 107 points, one of their highest point totals in 2 years. Kelsey Shermer won the all-around. North will host Seymour tonight at 7. Brittany LaFoon, a second place and 2-4s to lead Andrea Smith's Cougars to second place at the Columbus East Three-Way. Brooklyn Summers also competed well. In the pool at Royer over the weekend on the IU campus, the 17th annual Councilman Classic in a South sweep. The girls and guys of Phil Cole, steady and efficient. The girls winning for a 10th straight year, ending North's perfect dual season, 118-62. Grace Haskett set a new meet mark in the 100 back. She won the 200 free and swam legs on two winning relays. The Panther girls set three other meet marks. Mackenzie Luz broke her own two-year-old mark in the 200 IM. She's down to 208 now and won the 100 fly. And Phoebe Rensink took the 100 breaststroke in record time at 108. Chelina German won a couple of sprints as well on Saturday. North's Alicia DeMars, the newly crowned Conference Indiana diving champion, took care of that event with 223 points for North's lone win. Teammates Emma Mon and Melinda Wang each recorded two second-place finishes. Over on the boys' side, the Panthers now with four straight classic wins. They win 122-64, two wins each for Matthew Jordan, Max Grog, and Lucas Lobing. The Panthers won every event, though no new meet standards were set on Saturday. Caleb Poore had four PRs, including a second place in the breaststroke, and Jack Kusea, a young freshman, was second in the 100 free for Dave Tanner's fellows. And Dave Pemberton grabbed third and fifth place finishes to help lead the Edgewood boys to third place at the Western Indiana Conference meet. Over at the West Vigo Aquatic Center over the weekend, the girls finished sixth, led by Carly Bland, who had fifth place finishes in the 100 free and 200 free. Well, don't forget, in the zone, brand spanking new week, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls kicking off your sports week tonight at 6.
Ryan Grigson is out as Colts general manager. We heard that Saturday afternoon.
Yes, he is.
Chuck Pagano stays as coach, so that gives you some idea of what the what Jim Irsay has been thinking there. Super Bowl is set. New England Patriots, Atlanta Falcons.
Got a nice one coming up.
Should be high scoring. Two big teams that get the ball down the field. Two big quarterbacks. Matt Ryan threw for four touchdowns. Ran for one yesterday. 24-0 Atlanta at the half. The game's over. New England ran away from Pittsburgh as well. The Patriots, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, that'll be their seventh Super Bowl together.
Yeah.
Ninth all time. I believe that's the record now. Pittsburgh, I think, went eight times before that. So, whew,
yeah.
Somebody was going for the ninth time, whoever won that game. It was New England. A couple of blowouts, Joe, so we'll get a week to digest all of that. Next week will be the Super Bowl hype week, and then we'll have coverage for you a week from Sunday. We'll talk Hoosier Hoops coming back at 8:45. Got a big game tonight at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall for the women. Men have vaulted into the top half of the league after their two-win week last week. But now, Joe, 7 of the next 11 on the road for Tom Crean's Hoosiers. That's going to be, well, where the rubber meets the road. That's what we'll find out here, especially Thursday at Michigan and Sunday at tied for third Northwestern. They've won four straight. And
Cats are playing well, yeah.
Winning yesterday for the first time since 1977 in Columbus. So they're on it. They haven't been to the NCAA tournament ever.
Nope, 16 wins already. 16
four
or
losses.
17.
Yeah, 16-4, I think it is.
Yeah.
And we'll get caught up with that coming back at 8:45.
That's the plan. We'll be here.
All right, sounds good. 8:45 at WGCL. Monday morning, we check in live with Joe Smith. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
I'm just fine for a Monday. Morning, Margaret.
Good morning. You got your coffee?
Oh, yeah.
Already?
Yay.
Pot two.
Pot and a half.
There you go. I had the over-under, too.
Measured it well today.
Oh, yeah?
Didn't
eyeball it?
Didn't eyeball it.
Sometimes you just throw it in there and get it started. I think that's sometimes more important than how much is in there. Or not in there.
Not in there.
There you go. You got to fill it up. Hey, the women are in action tonight. They had a very big win against their rivals on Thursday night, a convincing 74-60 win over those up Interstate 65. Now they get another shot at home against, again, a team right there in the league. Everybody's jockeying for position, yeah. Joe, whether it's the men's side or the women's side. Terry Morin's crew has a chance at home tonight to add their fourth conference win and look for win 14 overall as they welcome the Penn State Nittany Lions to town.
Well, Terry Morin's women waste very little time tipping off the work week as they host Penn State tonight, 7 o'clock on the McCracken Court in the Simon Scott Assembly Hall, looking for the regular season sweep of PSU and its four straight over the Nittany Lions. Penn State comes in having won its last two. The Hoosiers were very solid in that Purdue win last week, and like the men, will shoot for its fourth league win, which would put them in a fifth-place deadlock in the conference standings. Coach Terry and staff did a nice job disguising defenses against Purdue the other night in that 14-point victory they had. Most likely will do same tonight against Penn State, who shoots the ball well, and we'll see if the bench continues to perform like it has over the last couple of games. You couldn't ask more from Kim Royster, the young sophomore who produced a season-high 14 against Purdue the other night. Jen Anderson has been coming on strong. The veteran senior is averaging 16 a game over her last three. Junior Tyra Buss needs just 3 points tonight to move into third in the all-time career scoring list, passing Jill Chapman. Denise Jackson and Rochelle Bostic rank 1-2 on that list. Tyra also with that current 56-game double-figure games mark that she is working on tonight to take it to 57. So this one tonight, key for Indiana, 7 o'clock on the Big Ten Network, Indiana and Penn State. Well, watched, obviously, James Blackman Jr. throughout his entire career shooting the ball, but never did I see him as hot and dialed in as he was Saturday in the Hoosiers' 7-point win over Michigan State in the Assembly Hall. Three straight now for the last five, and a win that ended a personal five-game losing streak to Sparty. 4-3 now and good for a fifth-place tie entering the work week with road stops at Michigan on Thursday and Northwestern on Sunday evening. But back to James, a career tying high 33, a Big Ten best, by the way, and I wouldn't be surprised at all under the health circumstances that Indiana finds itself in for James to win the Big Ten Player of the Week honor later today. Remember that game-winning three that he had as Indiana notched its first true road win at Penn State last week. The Hoosiers opened the contest Saturday against Michigan State, 6-for-6 from behind the three line. JB contributed 4 of those, and he scored 16 of Indiana's first 23, just electric. Zach McRoberts made his second to start, posted season highs in minutes played, 32. He had 5 boards and also gunned in a tray as Indiana withstood an MSU 26-10 run to cut a 20-point lead down to 4 with 6 to play. Indiana making the plays down the stretch and getting a key home court victory over MSU. Elsewhere on the IU sports capsule here on a Monday, Dwayne Goldman's wrestlers fell at home yesterday at UGym to 11th-ranked Minnesota 28-9. The Golden Gophers won 7 of the 10 bouts as Chris Perez, Devin Skatska, and Nate Jackson all had wins for Indiana, who's 7-5 now on the year, still searching for that elusive first Big Ten win. Boy, in the pool, it was electric over in West Lafayette as the 4th-ranked men's team of Ray Lewis moved to 10-0 with a dual win over Purdue, and then the 14th-ranked women improved to 7-3 on the year with a 155-139 victory. Both teams had great showings against the Boilers. The men's squad won 12 of 16 events, while the women's team placed first in 10 of the 16 events, with a lot of our Olympians rising to the top again. Lily King among one, Kennedy Goss, Blake Peroni, Jessica Perrotto, and it was just very, very solid. Indiana, by the way, with a pair of victories, now leads Purdue 7.5 to 3.5 in the quest for this year's Indiana Governor's Cup. Elsewhere, Ryan Castle, he's in charge of the 16th-ranked IU women water polos, team as they closed out the UC Santa Barbara winter invite with an 8-5 upset win of number 6 ranked Hawaii yesterday. Junior Kelly Matthews had 5 goals in that one. Indiana ended up that Western swing 3-2 to start 2017. How about former Bloomington South standout Megan Grabowski, the redshirt freshman, won the 200 meters, highlighting activity at the Gladstein Invitational over the weekend. And Daniel Kuhn, he just keeps getting better and better, faster and faster, set another school record in the 800 to highlight activity. Grabowski followed up a second place in the 60 on Friday night with a win in the 200. She clocked in at 25.08 and also ran a leg on the mile relay team that finished seventh. Kuhn, by the way, has broke his own mark in the 800. He is down now to 147 on the year. A great start for Romero Asqui and the IU women tennis netters as they had a pair of sweeps at the IU Tennis Center over the weekend, blanking Western Michigan with daughter Denise Asqui on that team, and the Butler Bulldogs 7-0. So a nice start for Romero there. And mentioning sweeps, Jeremy Wertzman's fellas did the same thing. They were out in Hanover, New Hampshire over the weekend and blanked Bryant 4-0 and the Dartmouth Big Green 6-1 to get their season off and running. And I think we're going to hear a lot from this doubles duo who are freshmen, Bennett Crane and Zach Brodney. They had 2 key wins at 3 doubles playing for Coach Jeremy over the weekend. So good productivity on the part of all of our Hoosier men and women's athletic teams in our Hoosier capsule for this Monday. Being a Monday, don't forget In the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tonight at 6.
And we'll recap the NFC and AFC championship games. The Colts have a brand new vacancy in their front office. Ryan Grigson has been relieved of his duties. Jim Irsay said Vice President Jimmy Ray will take over for now. And we'll see where that leads, if anywhere. So we'll get you caught up on all that. Plus, recapping, Joe, last time we were on the air, we got off the air right before IU and Penn State tipped off at State College. So we'll go back on a busy week for Indiana basketball, 2-0 week. Yep. Very good to have, even though with a tough loss with OG Anunoby. Hoosiers shot it extremely well. I'm not sure what Tom Izzo's plan was to let James Blackman get loose on Saturday, but we thank him for it. And
I think he was a little shocked about that because as well. They had worked on taking him away from that right side, and it didn't work.
He had a couple tough ones, but he had a couple wide open ones as well. So you lose that guy in transition, you get what you get.
You're asking for it, yeah.
Exactly, and he gave it to him. Now
he sure did.
Seven of the next 11 are on the road for the Hoosiers, Joe, and 2 this week. At Michigan and at Northwest. Well, you got to play some of them on the road, and we know they closed with 4 of their last 5 in hostile territory.
Gotta hate to get back to that 0-2 home star, but we got to make, as I say, a little hay. And we had a good start at Penn State, and hopefully that will carry through now this week. A couple of difficult stops. Michigan is Michigan at the Chrysler Center. And
well, if they're going to shoot it anywhere, they're going to shoot it at that place.
Yeah.
And that's what you'll have to look out for. And obviously we know Northwestern's won 4 in a row, so
yeah,
that's a big one.
They're playing awfully well.
We'll have Super Bowl coverage for you, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, a full 2 weeks. So they get a full bye week to get everybody rested and ready to go for that. Kickoff's usually
and
around.
And get your parties all planned.
That's exactly right.
And all your food.
Oh, yeah,
got to
get those plans set.
It's the last major eating event until 9 days later when Valentine's Day
New
rolls
England
around.
The early favorite 3 points, I see.
That's right. Not surprising on that you have the highest scoring team.
They've won a few of those.
Highest scoring team in Atlanta and the best scoring defense in New England. So
what
usually beats what, Joe? We know. We know that old phrase.
Well, defense wins championships.
That's usually how that works.
Uh-huh.
But I think it'll be an entertaining game for the neutral. And again, we've got a whole week of preparation to get to Super Bowl week, and then it'll be Super Bowl week. So we'll have pregame here on the airwaves, and we will have coverage of Super Bowl 51 from Houston on February 5th, Sunday, and we'll get you those times a little bit later in the week. And Fred Glass returns to Yogi's tomorrow night.
Behind the scenes, we haven't sat down with Fred. He had a lot of commitments in the month of December, so obviously had a big commitment bringing in a new coach in the early part of December. But that being said, we move forward into 2017. Looking forward to sitting down with Fred. Also, J.B. Neal comes in with a couple of seniors, Cooper Bybee and Jason Brown, who have been key parts, and will play and become hopeful back-to-back WIC conference champions come Friday night.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow night, my friend. Thank you so much.
See you now.
Thank you, Joe.